Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, unfortunately, our chosen theme song for tonight is experiencing technical difficulties playing and downloading itself, and that's rather unfortunate. But my name is Victoria Mansherry, and I am the executive producer here for Victorious Radio and Communications, and also the person responsible for the bad download. In any event, I am so glad to be here with you right now as we welcome you back to another episode of Conversations with Gail. Through Conversations with Gail, also known as CWG, we aim to improve mindsets and attitudes that are self-defeating and destructive. CWG and hostess Gail Butler is a sister friend where we come together to talk about topics such as relationship enrichment, achieving greater intimacy, effective communication, making and implementing positive changes, current events, and just so much more. So without hesitation, keeping it real and filled with love, it is a pleasure that I present to you tonight philanthropist, playwright, and my favorite title, which would be hostess in this instance, Gail Butler.
How are you doing, family? Thanks for tuning in to Conversations with Gail on Blog Talk Radio, Victoria's Radio Communications. As my executive producer has told you, I am your lovely host, Gail Butler. Now, we all know what time it is, people. I shouldn't have to tell you, but I'm going to remind you, it is our wind down time. So you've been to work, or maybe some of you may be at work, but you're settling down and just relaxing and thinking. So you're going to sit back with what makes you relax, if it's a glass of wine, a glass of cognac, a beer, whatever it is. Some of you may be prepared to look at the basketball game that's coming on tonight. Tonight I am sipping on some sweet tea, so that's what I'm winding down with. If you have a comment or question this evening, please feel free to call in. The discussion line is 347-855-8877. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or you have a question. This is an open forum, so I welcome your comments. If you want to remain anonymous, your privacy will be respected. If you are not comfortable with that, please comment on the chat link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/Victorious Radio Communications. You can also send me any questions to my email address, convowithgail@gmail.com, or just like my Facebook page, Conversations with Gail, or leave a message, invite your friends to like my Facebook page. If you know how to get in touch with me, you know my personal way to get in touch with me, send me a message, and I will try to respond to all questions, if not live, on my Facebook page. Family, family, family. It has been wonderful. It is so wonderful to be back celebrating another week of Black History Month. The last 2 weeks, we discussed strength and perseverance. And I must tell you that working on topics for Black History Month has not been as easy as I thought they would. I figured celebrating this month will be a cakewalk. This will be easy. No problem. Yes, because I just love Black History, so I was like, oh, I'll be good. But I found there is such a plethora of information to choose from to discuss about our history. So I thought about this long and hard, and I realized we are conquerors. We will not accept defeat. Harriet Tubman stated, every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. What I so love about my African American family is that we do not look like our history. When you see us, you don't see struggle. And tonight, I'm going to change the way I address Black history. I'm going to do a comparison to several historical events. One I'm going to discuss is, I know all of you know about the story of Job in the Bible. If you don't, then just get you a Bible and read Job. Some of you may say, no, that's Job, it's Job. So read that and you will see your comparisons that you see with the African-American experience what Job went through. So that's where I'm going to talk about that today, tonight. I often go back to the story of Job when I think of an African-American family. In the story of Job, in the Bible, it says, iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He seateth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. Job made a connection and recognized that in the midst of his hardship and pain that he could equate his experience to the most precious stones which are formed and shaped from under the dirt, under the ground. Now, some of you, I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of Job. Job was a wealthy man, and he was favored by God. Satan said, I can get him to turn away from you. And God said you can take everything from him, but you cannot take his life. He believed in Job. So Satan did everything, took away he killed his children, killed his livestock. He lost everything. And Job was very, very just going through and in the scripture, it is basically Job really like crying out to God, and his wife even told him, you should curse yourself and die. His friends came and was like, you had to do something. But he still believed, even at his worst, he still believed in God. So if you really studying this and you're thinking of the African-American experience, you will start to see the connection. And remember, it said he equated his pain and his hardship to the most precious stones. And, you know, diamonds are considered to be precious, and they are not. They don't just come out sparkly and pretty like what you see in your rings. They have to go through a process. They have to be cut. They have to be pressured. They have to just go through a lot just to become that beautiful, shining diamond. And it is not a pretty sight once you see the original diamond. But after all of the dirt and all of that is washed away, you see this shining, beautiful diamond. Iron is taken out from under the earth. Brass is molten out of stone, captured beneath the ground. And it said the most precious stones are formed under the earth in darkness. So just think about that. The most beautiful stones that we spend thousands of dollars upon to purchase, they don't just pop up. It's not a easy task. These stones are in the depths of dirt and murk, and it takes a lot of work to become this precious stone. Job went through some real hardships and pain during his life. He has made some headway towards solving the riddle of his life, namely that affliction is to him as the refining fire is to gold. Job began to compare his afflictions to hitting rock bottom, if you will. That was about as low or as low down as you could possibly feel. Every now and then, I think about our forefathers and what they had to endure and go through because of their endurance. I and we as African Americans can achieve and live in a country where we can exercise our freedom. I think about those that have come before me that paved the way for all of us and endure struggles, sorrows, heartaches, and pains. I can only imagine that they must have felt just like Job at times. They must have felt like they hit rock bottom. Well over 200 years being viewed and treated by the masses of society as though they were lower than the earth. We are a people that can relate to the words of Job that says, iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He seateth and into darkness and searcheth out all perfection. As I was thinking about Job, my mind could not help but travel back to an event that transpired and captured the world's attention in a small country of Chile. I know many of you remember when the events transpired. This happened in August 2010. A cave-in occurred at the San Jose Copper Gold Mine in the Atacama Desert near Copiapó, Chile. Hopefully I'm saying it correct. The accident left 33 men trapped 2,300 feet below ground. The world was transfixed on those 33 miners that survived for 69 days underground. I'm not sure about you, but I could not imagine being in that type of a condition and surviving for 69 days. And they showed how small that area was for those miners that were stuck in there. As I consider Black History Month and think about the story of Job and the events that unfolded in the country of Chile, I begin to see a correlation between the events and what we as African Americans endured for 200 plus years. In America leading to this very moment in time, could you imagine your condition in life making you feel as though you are beneath the earth? Remember last week and the week before, I explained to you how the African Americans were brought over in the Middle Passage, how they were laid in the bottom of the ship. Can you imagine, can you just for a second think how that had to feel to be just taken away from all that you know and placed basically nude in a hot little crevice of a corner box, not knowing where you're going, what's going on, no nothing. That had to feel like this was it. Just kill me now. They had to feel like they were at the bottom of the earth. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, as I consider what those Chilean miners must have gone through as well, I can't help but to make a connection and think upon our history. There are times, my brothers and sisters, that God must bring us down before he can bring us up. And when I consider the stories of old and of all of the biblical stories, God had to bring them low before he could bring them up. And I'm saying this, and I brought in God because I hear so many people during Black History Month, so many people saying, you're worshiping what the white master has told you and that you should not follow God. And I am here to tell you it had to be a God for people to endure such a horrible, treacherous 200 plus years that most populations that would have endured that should be extinct. They should not be living. But we multiplied. We produced. We grew bigger. So you cannot tell me that there is not a God. And he gave us a reason to hope. And he put that hope in our forefathers. So I'm saying this to God to just put in your mind, just think. He had to bring them low before he could bring them up. Job felt as though he lost it all before God restored him. Job lost everything. But when God restored him, he restored him 10 times more than what he had, more than 10 times. Moses found himself on the backside of the Midian desert before becoming a pastor of God's people. Joseph was thrown in a pit by his own brothers before God saved him and had him to be a king. Elijah running from Jezebel and asking God to take his life got a double portion and was anointed. Jeremiah was weeping in a dungeon before he got his restoration. Paul got knocked off his beast on the road to Damascus and became blind before he ended up being he wrote more than half of the New Testament. So God had to sometimes, and I think a lot of us fail to realize that, a lot of times, and if you really seriously open your mind and get past the, you know, some people are so scared to accept that God is real. And they get so afraid to accept it. But open your eyes, and if you look back at the things that you have gone through, the lessons that you have learned, you can honestly say that it was when you were at your lowest point. After that, the lights just started ping, ping, plinging in your mind, and you realize, oh, my goodness, he's with me. And if you think back of all of the things, I know with me, there is a lot of things that I could have been in, and I know that he has brought me to where I am. I know that he has paved that way for me through the hardships, through the struggles. I have learned and I have grown to be a better person. There are great lessons to be learned. When we find we are at our lowest state, there are some distinct things that had to happen with those minors that I can see in myself and African Americans. When we feel we have been knocked down, or we feel we are at our lowest, with those trapped minors, there was a purpose to being 2,300 feet below ground for 69 days. The 69 days underground worked to their advantage, not to their detriment. What was viewed as negative would in actuality work to their good. Family, do you want to call in and comment about our forefathers being conquerors? If so, call in. The discussion line is 347-855-8877. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or you have a question. This is an open forum, so I welcome your comments. If you want to remain anonymous, your privacy will be respected. If you are not comfortable with that, please just comment on the chat link, www.blogtalkradio.com/Victorious Radio Communications. You can also send me any questions to my email address, convowithgail@gmail.com, or like my Facebook page, Conversations with Gail, and leave a message. As you all know, I will do my best to answer all questions. If not live, I will respond on my Facebook page. When we were at our lowest state, it is there that God is able to work with us and help us shed the things of this world, that we can become truly dependent on him. It is during the hardships of life that we learn how to lean and depend on God. We no longer lean on parents, our jobs, our education, sometimes we'll lean on the wrong things, drugs, alcohol, etc. Some of the greatest gospel hymns and what we now refer to as the old Negro spirituals came from the time period when our forefathers seemed as though they were at their lowest state. No rights in the land at all. They had nothing, and they felt like nothing, but they were able to sing. They were able to cry out words that gave them hope. And that's why I think, you know, music is, to me, for me, music is something that really can just give you a time to think. And if you listen to some good old gospel, it will just put you in a different place. So some of the old Negro spirituals that they have come across that they sung, it is there that we learned to lean on the Lord. It is there we learned to shed the weight of this world. It is there that God allowed us to be stripped bare at our lowest state. And it is there that we begin to sing songs like, "Soon I will be done with the troubles of the world." If you ever heard anybody sing this song, and I mean really sing it, like the old Negro spirituals, it takes you into another zone. And you can just hear people why they sung this. "Soon I will be done with the troubles of the world." It was there that they began to sing songs like, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow." It is also there that they began to sing songs, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." It was there they began to sing the songs, "I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied my every groan." And it was there that God began to prepare them for a journey upward. Now, while the miners were trapped underground for 69 days, we were told that something had happened to their vision. By being in the relative dark for so long, it had such a negative effect on their eyesight. The process of being underground for so long caused them to become more sensitive to the light. And in order to be rescued, they were provided with designer sunglasses they had to wear during the rescue process. After being underground with a lack of natural light, the light once rescued would have an effect on their eyes, and therefore their eyes had to be protected. We see here also that it is at our lowest state that our vision changes. You see where I'm going with this? Like I said earlier, when I was going through the most a really rough time, it was during that rough time that I was able to start to see things differently. It is during a rough time, you always hear people say, "Well, you know who's with you when you're at your lowest." That's when your eyes are open. That's when your mind is open, because you're thinking. And you see who is sincere. You start to see more than what you would see when it's just regular light. We begin to see our situation different. Our perspective begins to change. Our physical sight doesn't change, but our spiritual sight changes. Our inner being changes. We will walk by faith, not by sight, and we begin to see God's hand moving and working all around us. And I'm going to say this, I was unemployed for close to 4 years. And I was just telling my mother, if it was not by the grace of God and my family, I could have been a homeless person. So I know what it's like to be at your lowest. I know what it's like when you are used to taking care of yourself and you got to go to other people. So when I'm talking about this, I'm speaking from the heart. When you're at your lowest, your eyes open up to who is truly your friend and who is just somebody that wants to know your business. They want to know, how you still looking like that and you're not working? Because I walk by faith and not by sight. So while we are down, we become more sensitive to God shining light in our lives. It is when we have no rights, viewed in low estate, that our spiritual vision changed. And I think that's what happened. That's what's happening now. We see a lot of African Americans that used to be firmly grounded in the church, and we used to be firmly grounded. And now we've gotten so, oh, everything's perfect, everything's good, life is great, I don't need to go. And I'm one of them. Because I have my issues with some churches, and I, like I tell you, I'm going to be honest, I have issues with some churches. But I am noticing a trend that a lot of us, and it's my age group, and, you know, we're tired, you're getting tired of the same thing, and you want the churches to reach out more. But if you really look back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, when the church people were going to the churches and the churches were providing serious substance, and this is who they leaned on, you will see that we did more. We pushed more. We were more of a community. Now that so many of us are either, if we're running into these big mega churches where you don't even know who your neighbor is, or, and nothing against, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm just saying that we have forgotten about our community because now we're just so selfish upon, okay, I made it, you got to get yours. That spirit, that light that our forefathers had, that they knew it could not be anything but God that brought them through. It's like we don't understand that. It's a disconnect. It's a disconnect. And until you go through that a struggle, that's when that light starts shining and you start seeing, wow, it had to be her. This is why the songwriter wrote, "Walk in the light, beautiful." I wish I could sing, and I would sing it. "Walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world." We used to sing this at church all the time, and it is such a upbeat song. And now that I've said the words, I can hear it, and I understand why the people were happy. You walking in the light, Jesus is the light of the world. This is what kept the people with hope. This gave them hope, and so many of us, I don't think we have hope. We don't even think we can make it. Although we arrived in this country by ugly circumstances, it seemed dark for centuries. We as African Americans are well aware that we were enslaved and what we were taken from. We were taken from highly developed black empires that existed in many parts of Africa. Hundreds and even thousands of years ago, way before the onslaught of slavery exploitation in the late 1500s. So this is what I'm trying to explain to you people. These were people that were not, how do I say it, they like to portray that they just picked black people from Africa and they, like, we were hanging from the trees. No, these were civilized. That's just like now. Let's think about this now. You're driving to work and you get stopped and they grab you and throw you in a boat. Strip you naked and you're everybody's hooked up together. These were people that had their civilization. They had lives. They had families. They were kings and queens. This was not somebody just sitting in a hut. These were people that had true, they were smart people. They had their own languages, their own beliefs. And we need to really connect to that because I don't think a lot of us realize that. Because a lot of us will be quick to say, I'm from Africa. I've been one. I'm not from Africa. But why are you ashamed to say, baby, with somebody from my family from Africa? It's nothing wrong with, it's nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing whatsoever. That is a country that is so rich in resources. We should be proud to say it. They were taken from a land where our forefathers were tribal kings and leaders. Most are even unaware that we had our own black Mecca right here in the United States, in Oklahoma, in the city of Tulsa. A lot of people don't realize that we blacks had their own. And I talked about that as well last week, that if we do not learn from our history, we are redeemed to repeat itself. And the city of Tulsa, it was once referred as Black Wall Street. We wouldn't have that now because I think some of us are too scared. We so believe in, we just don't trust each other. But these were, it was a lot of black owned everything. The area was terrorized and burned to the ground. Can you relate to this today? In spite of years of slavery, in spite of being viewed as less than human, in spite of having no voting rights, many not even allowed to learn how to read. At the appointed time, God said to us as a people, now it is time to lift you up. You have been down long enough. What do you need before I lift you up? I believe that the prayers of our forefathers were answered. Some prayed that God would send us to colleges and universities. I believe that they prayed for this. When they were singing them hymns and them spirituals, it was some praying grandmas out there, grandmas and grandpas, and they was out there praying because they did not want their children to repeat picking cotton or out on them fields or all of that. They didn't want their children to have to deal with that. So I know it was some praying grandmas and grandpas that wanted to their children to be sent to colleges and universities. And God allowed avenues to be opened that what? African Americans had the ability to start their own universities. That's where we have all these HBCUs, and now we have the audacity not to even support them. Do you know how many people fought just so we could have higher education? Because we didn't. And I believe that there was some praying people that said, they can achieve. They can achieve just as much as the next man. And though we can't go into your college and university, we can do our own. And he opened the way. I believe some prayed that God would send us black generals, black majors, and captains. And we have so many African Americans that are in every branch of the military serving our country, those that have died for our country. I believe that we had that. We had a praying grandmother asking for us to be driving the buses instead of sitting in the back of the bus. And now when you go in a major city, what do you see? You see a plethora of our African American bus drivers all throughout the United States. Someone prayed that we would be judges, doctors, lawyers, not just domesticists, not just farmhands, and there's nothing wrong with that. But somebody prayed that we would do more. Somebody's grandma said, I want my baby girl, my son, my daughter, to do more than cleaning house. I want them to be a lawyer, be a judge, be a congressman, be a senator. I want them to pass the laws to change what we have to endure. You see where I'm going with this? Many mothers and fathers prayed that we would one day go from sweating to build, decorate, feed, and clean the White House to one day occupying the White House. And prayers have been answered. You see how I believe, and I strongly believe, that this time of celebrating African American heritage is so valuable to our youth, and so valuable to the adults, because a lot of us have forgotten why we celebrate. We're so busy trying to make a statement, I'm black all year round. We know this. We know this. But you should celebrate all that your family and forefathers and ancestors endured just so you could be a simpleton and say, I'm black all year round. Be thankful for that. This is why, yes, we have to talk about the struggle of our ancestors, but we must also discuss all of the great accomplishments. It is time we taught our children that there is more to our history than the slavery. So, yes, you're going to tell them the struggle, but I want you to also tell them all of the good, that out of that struggle and out of those prayers, look what came. Look what we accomplished. Do you know, do your children know, or do your little, your nieces, nephews, grandchildren, whomever, do they know that Henry Ford brought the concept plans for the first automobile from a black man? Yes, he did. True, it's important to know something about our history. Your history helps to define who you are as a people. And I told you that last week. Did you know that our black ancestor, Imhotep, was the first physician in a recorded history? He opened the first hospital in 2700 B.C. and carved the familiar caduceus that is still recognized as the symbol of medicine. The Greeks even referred to Imhotep as their god of healing. And this same physician was also a great architect and engineer. So please never think, you know, that's the one thing. People act like our story starts from when we got here. No, our story goes back further. Our story goes way back. We were not just hanging, like I said, stop giving that lie like we've been hanging from trees. No. We were developed. We were smart people, and we helped a lot of the European country. If you don't believe that, study about Moors. Study about Moors. If you study about Moors, your mind will be blown of all of the things that the Moors did, and these were African people. The Moors set up the septic system in Europe. Anybody, if you ever studied Europe in the early years, Europe was very a nasty, dirty, nasty, nasty place. Whatever they did, they threw it out in the street, and it would just run down. That's why they always had diseases, because the women wore the long dresses, and they didn't have anything to clean it, so they just let everything just run on down the street and, you know, sewage, whatever. They didn't have those until the Moors came in and was telling them how to create their system, watering system. These were African men. And we need to teach our children this so that they'll know that it's more beyond the slavery. It's more to us than just that. History has its purpose, but it also has its place. Our forward momentum as a people can become slowed and even stagnant if we dwell too much on past accomplishments. So, yes, like I said, we have to have a balance. We got to have a balance of knowing your past and knowing your future and knowing how you're going to move forward. Learning from your past, excuse me. It's good to reflect on the accomplishments of Dr. King and Rosa Parks and Malcolm X and countless others. It's good to reflect because, you know, like I told you last week, whenever they do Black History Month, it's about four people that all of the kids do. They always do Martin Luther King, they always do Malcolm X, they always do Rosa Parks, and they do, oh, goodness, his name has just escaped me. Thurgood Marshall, yes. Somebody's child, because that's the quick and easy way. somebody's child going to do one of those four. We all know it. 9 times out of 10, some of us probably did it when we were in school. But only if they are motivating and inspiring us to press on. We can't keep holding on to, and that's one thing that irritates me. Well, what would Dr. King have said? What Dr. King has said, Dr. King has passed on. And now it's time for us to start our movement. It's time for us to have a thought. We can't go back and find out what Dr. King would do because his time has passed. And now we have to do the lifting up. We have to have a vision. We have to stop dwelling too much in the past and create difference to the present. It would seem today that we are so busy rejoicing over our past gains in civil rights that we have forgotten how far we still have to go. And that's where we come into Black Lives Matter, and we have some of our Black African American brothers and sisters that say, oh no, it's not Black Lives Matter, it's All Lives Matter. Well, hello, it has been All Lives Matter since the day they brought us all over from the ship. But the black life wasn't the one that mattered. Hello, wake up. Black Lives Matter, and I have to keep repeating this so maybe it will seep into somebody's skull. Black Lives Matter is for us to pay attention to police brutality. It has nothing against anybody of any other race. It is bringing attention to police brutality to our young black males and black women. That is what the Black Lives Movement is. For anyone to discredit that movement, to me, is a disgrace. That is just like you discrediting the Voter Rights Act, because you would say, well, what are we talking about Voter Rights Act for? Everybody can vote. No, Dumbo the clown. There are rules. Some people have to have an ID. Some people, they don't even want people that have been out of prison and have served their time to vote. There are Voter Rights Act that could affect all of us. So I think that we need to really understand when we get on that, oh, no, it's All Lives Matter movement. No, it's not All Lives Matter. That, to me, is such a slap in the people's face, in the parents' face, who have lost their children over excessive police force. That is a slap in their face because that is what that movement is about. And I always somewhat tell people, you would be the first one on the Black Lives Matter movement bandwagon. Let some police officer kill your family member. You'll be crying and doing GoFundMe accounts and everything else wanting support. So I think we need to be a little bit more cautious when we are talking about All Lives Matter. All lives have always mattered. But at this time, these are the lives we're talking about that needs to matter. Okay? Now, something needs to stir the waters of complacency because a lot of African Americans, we've gotten complacent. We figure, oh, we don't have to sit in the back of the bus. They took down them signs, Negro and whites or colored and whites took down the sign. We good. But inequality still exists. Our average income is still significantly lower than our white counterparts. We are still the last to be hired and the first to be fired in most cases. Our communities are still the major target of illegal drug distribution. If you do not believe it, open up your newspaper and you will look at this. The mayor, the governor of Maine, I can't think if he's the mayor or the governor, that wants every black drug dealer to be shot because they are impregnating their white little young girls and bringing drugs into his state. Please believe that racism is real. Stop closing your mind because you're in this little bubble and you figure, oh, it doesn't affect you because you don't see it. It's out there. And eventually you keep your eyes closed and you do not do anything. Remember what I said, history will repeat itself. And I would hate for all of us to have to go back to that colored and white sign. We are still rejected for blank loans at an alarming high rate. If you don't believe it, I don't care how much you make, they will still question you, try to get a loan. They will still question you. Your credit could be 800++. They will still give you high interest rates. Our children still make up a large percent of the incarcerated. We still register too small a number in the upwardly mobile communities. Too many of us are still living week to week. A lot of us are a paycheck away from poverty, but we walking around like we $1 million. But we are truly a paycheck away from poverty. History has its place, but rest too long on your laurels, as the saying goes, and you may end up with nothing but your laurels to rest upon. We must never forget that we still have a lot of work to do, and we should never get complacent. Now, as I have been talking, and I've been talking about a whole lot of stuff, but I'm going back to what I said earlier, that I believe that if it were not for God bringing us through, we would not be here today. So, I'm going to read a poem that I truly, truly, I love this poem. And I would tell anyone, this is something that you should have your children to read, and maybe you should read it, and maybe you should put it up somewhere sometimes when you're feeling down and you just need a pick-me-up. And it's called God, Why Did You Make Me Black? Lord, Lord, why did you make me black? Why did you make me someone the world wants to hold back? Black is the color of dirty clothes, the color of grimy hands and feet. Black is the color of darkness, the color of tire-beaten streets. Why did you give me thick lips, a broad nose, and kinky hair? Why did you make me someone who receives the hatred stare? Black is the color of a bruised eye when somebody gets hurt. Black is the color of darkness. Black is the color of dirt. How come my bone structure's so thick? My hips and cheeks are high. How come my eyes are brown and not the color of the daylight sky? Why do people think I'm useless? How come I feel so used? Why do some people see my skin and think I should be abused? Lord, I just don't understand what it is about my skin. Why do some people want to hate me and not know the person within? Black is what people are listed when others want to keep them away. Black is the color of shadows cast. Black is the end of the day. Lord, you know my own people mistreat me, and I know this just isn't right. They don't like my hair or the way I look. They say I'm too dark or too light. Lord, don't you think it's time for you to make a change? Why don't you redo creation and make everyone the same? God replied, Why did I make you black? Why did I make you black? Get off your knees and look around. Tell me, what do you see? I didn't make you in the image of darkness. I made you in the likeness of me. I made you the color of coal from which beautiful diamonds are formed. I made you the color of oil, the black gold that keeps people warm. I made you from the rich, dark earth that can grow the food you need. Your color's the same as the panther's, known for her beauty and speed. your colors the same as the black stallion. A majestic animal is he. I didn't make you in the image of darkness. I made you in the likeness of me. All the colors of a heavenly rainbow can be found throughout every nation. And when all those colors were blended well, you became my greatest creation. Your hair is the texture of lamb's wool. Such a humble little creature is he. I am the shepherd who watches them. I am the one who will watch over thee. You are the color of midnight sky. I put the stars glitter in your eyes. There's a smile hidden behind your pain. That's the reason your cheeks are high. You are the color of dark clouds formed when I send my strongest weather. I made your lips full so when you kiss the one you love, they will remember. Your stature is strong, your bone structure thick to withstand the burdens of time. The reflection you see in the mirror, the image looking back at you is mine. So this is something whenever you feel like or get into your, why can't we all be the same color and everybody should just be the same color and there will be no, people will love everybody. God made us all who we are for a reason. And we should be thankful for him making us beautiful, beautiful black African-American creatures. This is why we need to celebrate. We rejoice in God's great faithfulness consistently displayed through our great struggles and great strides. This moment on the African-American Heritage Month reminds us that we have persevered through horrendous adversity and triumphed, that we have not done so alone. While celebrations of our history remind us of the work our forefathers accomplished, we are also made aware of what they left undone. We celebrate our history to remind us, powered by God as they were, we can continue their work and likewise pass down legacies of strength, perseverance, faith, and victory to future generations. So, as we are coming to a close of our show, I hope that each and every one of you have enjoyed the show. Remember, we're still, I want to let everybody know I'm still doing the Living Life to the Fullest Challenge. I'm going to set it back to March, so you can still get your put your videos in. Remember, you're going to say what you're going to be doing to live life to the fullest. Three things that you want to do. Do your video and submit it, and you will get a surprise, a nice little gift. Who wins? Remember to tune in next week, which will be our final African-American Heritage Celebration, and we're going to be talking about a little bit of everything, like tonight. It was all over, but I hope that you understand what I'm saying, that if it is not through God that takes us through our lowest point, that we become the shining diamonds that we are. This is why I love diamonds. I love that as like my little mascot, because if it was not for the struggles that I have been through, I wouldn't be the diamond that I am today. So, I wish you all have a wonderful night. Remember, same time, same station, Wednesday. I love you all. Good night.